Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, lords and ladies, tonight we have amusing anecdotes to amaze, astound, and awe-inspire you. Yay! Bursting forth from a brimming, bubbling, copious, coruscating cornucopia in order to dazzle, delight, emanating effervescently in a fountain of frolics. Gaily gushing in a torrent of hilarity and humour, imbued with insight, intuition, and the best of intentions. Hey. Or it could be just another Staggering Stories podcast. Welcome, 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 dear listeners, one and all, to this, the latest in a long line of Staggering Stories podcasts. Ooh. I'm $6 Million Crumbly.
I'm holding a dog, Fake Keith.
I'm Adam.
I'm Jean.
And I, yes, I am...
Pink.
Pink. Well, that's because you washed the shirt with the waistcoat.
I did.
Oh, dear. Oh,
I washed the shirt with the Actually, yes, that was true. Yes.
They're all sort of shoved in together.
They
I don't
were.
Know who
I did not know the waistcoat.
Together.
Is that a new waistcoat?
It is a reasonably new waistcoat.
I got it for his birthday, and silly me assumed it was colour fast. It's not.
It's not. No.
You need to put one of those leaves in the washing machine.
No, I'll just put it in with the towels from now on.
All right.
It's sort of now a gentle pinkish colour, the
as
shirt.
Is your other shirt that was in there as well.
Yeah. Everything is pink.
That's all right. I'm cool with my sexuality, so I shall continue to wear them.
Well, also, unforgivably, Siobhan has gone off on her great adventure wearing a pink shirt that used to be white because I washed it with her waistcoat, which is very purple. Sorry, Siobhan.
I think she wouldn't mind.
Anyway, dear listeners, without further ado, the good old days besides, it's the news with El Presidente.
Doctor Who news.
Oh, yeah.
New writers and potential return date.
Ooh.
It's nearly that time again. Doctor Who will return to our screens for a new set of episodes in April and May. Maybe. That's according to the loose lips of New Who writer Inwa Ellams. Four guest writers have been officially announced for the upcoming Series 15, Season 2, or Season 31, depending on the dating protocol. We have the aforementioned Inwa Ellams, a Nigerian-born British poet, playwright and performer. This appears to be his first foray into television. Ooh. Sharma Angel Walfall, a Mancunian who has written for Freema Agyeman's TV series Dreamland and been in writing rooms for such series as Tosin Cole's Supercell, Renegade Nell and A Town Called Malice. Juno Dawson has prior in the Hooniverse, having written the scripted podcast Redacted, audio plays for Big Finish, and was also on board as a writer for Class Season 2 before it was cancelled. Peter McTighe is the final non-RTD2 writer of the upcoming season. You may know him from such works as Kablam and Praxeus during the 13th Doctor's first two seasons. We believe RTD2 will kick the season off with an episode and cap it with a two-part finale. Otherwise, we know very little, as it should be right now. Mm-hmm. I do have an addendum, which may not be true. Yes, husband?
I do have to say, from this read-up, I have watched Renegade Nell, and it was fantastic.
Yeah,
really,
I've heard good
really
things. You need to catch it.
I do recommend it.
It's Disney Plus, isn't it?
Think so, yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
My Disney Plus has just expired
after
a Skeleton Crew, so next time it comes back, probably.
We might hold a viewing party around our place.
We don't fancy games on Wednesday, we'll watch some Renegade Nell. Would you like my addendum now?
You can throw your addendum in now.
I heard a rumour.
Rumour.
So,
matter.
There's probably no substance to it at all, but I heard a rumour that they've had to refilm the end of the last episode because Shooty has said he doesn't want to do it anymore. Ooh. So they filmed an open-ended regeneration scene.
Yes, blimey. I've read that on the old Book of Faces.
Yes, I've heard this too. Five extra days of filming, apparently, which just seems quite a lot.
Yeah.
I have to see if it's true or not.
Well, so on the flip side, he the ones I've been hearing, he's slightly a little bit knocked because he hasn't met the Daleks yet.
Well, you would be. Yeah. You're the Doctor. You've got to meet the Daleks.
I've got to assume they're in this season, surely. But
So a few conflicting rumours then. Buffy the Vampire Slayer, new series in the works.
Look at his little face. He was all ready to read it out.
Oh, sorry.
Go ahead.
You've got to let Crumbly read it because his new eyes are bionic.
Yeah.
And they need the exercise.
If you listen very carefully, you can hear.
And the back of his head. He's got a button.
Oh, a button.
Yeah, like a little lever to make this. Yeah.
Why is he still wearing glasses, Dave?
that's a fashion thing. Yeah. It's pure vanity.
Yeah.
For years now, there have been various attempts to continue Buffy the Vampire Slayer, both in additional seasons in comic form and more recently an audible series called Slayers. The not-quite-Buffy herself, Sarah Michelle Gellar, has not been involved in any of that nonsense. Though has now put her name forward to appear in a potential follow-up series. According to Deadline, a pilot has been ordered by Hulu and a writer's room assembled to hash out a possible first season. It should be noted that original creator Joss Whedon has no involvement, unsurprisingly. Other than the inclusion of Buffy herself, we know nothing more at this stage. The big questions, such as will Alison Hannigan be returning, are very much up in the air.
Yes, they're not quite original Buffy.
Watch this space. Yeah,
there was the one before.
The film.
Yeah, film version.
Yes.
I suppose because the Vampire Slayer isn't just her, it's been other Vampire Slayers.
Yeah. There were millions of them.
It could be a good way of kicking off the new series and she becomes kind of like the Giles to the new Slayer.
Yeah, maybe.
A mentor rather than...
And Willow's got to have her own coven.
Oh, God,
Yeah, we'll see if that happens.
Yes.
The pilot's been ordered, but even if the pilot gets shot, there's no guarantee it will actually be shown.
Yeah, it might not make it to series.
And if it ends up on Netflix, it'll just get cancelled anyway. Yeah.
Well, Hulu, so that's season, Disney Plus.
That is Disney,
Odds on, depends how well the fans complain.
Yes. Oh, they will complain, yes.
Of course they
They're
will.
Already complaining.
My God, they're like Doctor Who fans.
It's just fans in general.
Yeah. Sandman.
Dead.
Yeah.
Cancelled.
Netflix has taken the widely expected decision to end The Sandman after the upcoming second season.
Kill surprise.
This comes after a spate of similar Neil Gaiman projects that have been cancelled by various companies following a series of sexual allegations and misconduct allegations, with court cases now pending. Some of those canned projects include Caroline the Musical at the Leeds Playhouse, Gaiman's Dark Horse Comics, Disney adaption of The Graveyard Book, and Good Omens Season 3. That one not entirely dead, but being reworked from a full season to a 90-minute TV movie without Gaiman's involvement. The second season of Sandman is already in the can and will be released by Netflix, but the original plan for it to run and run, based on extensive Sandman comic book back catalogue, are now well and truly scuppered.
Yeah.
Blimey.
I always have mixed feelings about this. I totally understand why they're doing it. But the comic book, unless it's he's writing about the noughties he's up to, the comic book is... but I mean, explicitly.
Yeah.
It's like, if suddenly someone found out that Michelangelo was a naughty boy, would you say, like, well, we're not having any of his paintings or carvings or anything up? Would it denigrate the artwork? Should they still get the money from their actual creative product, or shouldn't they? And does this fit?
They should, because they created it. Yeah.
It's two different objects. When it's something like a book or a comic book, when it's a sole proprietor and action of one person...
Sometimes it's hard to disassociate the artist from the art.
Then that's it. Personally, I would draw the line and I would not invest in any more of his products. When it's something like a film or a TV show, you have the whole gambit of actors, background boys, lighting, yeah. so everything yeah. around them.
Mm. Yeah.
So that's when it becomes a little bit more...
Do we stop watching early New Who because Noel Clarke's in it?
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
No.
It's a difficult one when it's, I hate to say it, when it's a politician or someone like that whose legacy isn't of an individual creative, but when it's someone's legacy is of a creative product that is going to outlive them, is the product separate to the person kind of stuff? Is the painting separate to the person? Mm. If the paintings of cats, not what you've been up to kind of stuff, is that painting denigrated for the person that created it?
It's no easy answer.
It's a difficult one.
This comes down to money, really.
Mm. Yeah.
They're afraid they're going to lose their audience, and it's going to reflect badly on their company. It's going to affect their bottom line.
There are people who will not go to Netflix if they continue showing. Yeah.
Rightly so.
Oh, yeah.
Potentially, but let's not pretend that these companies have a conscience.
It's nothing to do with morals on their behalf. It's the bottom line.
Yeah.
Yep. Sad days over.
Yeah.
Any more addendums?
I like Neverwhere.
Yes.
I have an addendum.
Oh, yes.
My single solitary addendum.
Addendum me.
Doctor Who.
Mm.
The Tenth Planet.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Soundtrack to be released on Vinyl Day.
Record Day.
In stores this year.
Yes.
Okay.
They've done some of them quite regularly, so that'll be on 180 gram vinyl, and it'll probably be coloured vinyl.
Mm. Yeah.
Are there any more upcoming animated series?
I don't know.
What ones is it? Savages?
Savages was the last one I heard of, which was going to be animated rather than the travesty that Toymaker and Web Planet is.
That's on at the BFI, I think, later this month.
Yeah, it's not too far off on the disc. And then we're waiting for, what's the next box set?
It's Pertwee's first season, isn't it?
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
I forget, season seven?
Seven, yes.
Yeah. I saw the Ambassadors of Death. At the BFI.
Oh, yeah.
It was very interesting. They had the guy there that cleaned it up. And you sit there thinking, these are filmed on film, not video. These were filmed on colour. How much work can there be in actually making these? Giddy aunt.
A lot of Ambassador Death lost the colour, lost.
It did.
And they had to get it off the US tapes.
So they had the good quality black and white.
Yeah.
They had the poor quality colour.
Yeah.
Which they then had to overload with each other. Yeah. Then they used an AI to pick up the colour that it could recognise. Then you ended up this thing that had, like, because I showed you this four screen with black and white, the colour, then the overlaid. And you had this thing like where Bessie would be going green, yellow, depending on what angle the car was. So then you had to have someone go through and almost manually correct it all.
Yeah.
And that's without all the scratches and the bits and pieces. It was a hell of a lot of work involved in it, more than I thought would do for something filmed on film and in colour.
Yeah.
But it looked nice.
Yeah, I pre-ordered, so yeah.
Something we'll have to do.
Any more addendums?
And that's the end of the news. Okay, chaps, we have turned on the streaming service.
Uh-huh.
We flicked over to Paramount Plus.
Oh, yes.
And watched Section 31. Pause for music. Stars reckon across the universe.
Only going forward and things are getting worse. Best Star Trek film ever.
Since number five.
Huh. Now, I have to confess,
right?
I haven't watched it. I watched.
She chickened out.
I kind of like forgot, and then I was going to watch it last night, but I didn't get home till about 10:30, and I thought, oh, fine, I can have a late night. So I watched the first 5-10 minutes. And thought, okay, so they've nicked the soundtrack from Star Wars, and they've nicked Star Wars / Japanese movie imagery, and I think I'm going to bed now.
Yeah. So
I haven't seen it.
Was not a Star Trek film in my mind.
No, it made
the beginnings of it was looking like Gene said, a good Star Wars film.
Mm.
It's kind of a heist film. It starts off with a rip-off of Mission Impossible.
Yeah, but there again, I mean, you had the Starfleet emblem, sort of reversed. first. Yes, I thought, oh, this is to do with Mirror Universe.
Which it was at the beginning.
It didn't start with that.
It starts with the Mirror Universe. You've got Philippa Giorgio as a youngster becoming the Emperor by winning a contest, killing everyone, and burning the face off of her apparent lover, who was all of 12 as well.
Yeah. So Star Wars, then, basically. Yeah.
And she ends up coming to the main universe and joining Section 31.
What is Section 31?
Section 31 is like Black Ops. It's like
Starfleet's dirty tricks.
Yeah. Okay.
I really like Michelle Yeoh.
Oh, yes.
I think she's wonderful. And I also thought she was very good in this for what it was.
Yeah, but, as you say, for what it was,
I lost the will to live. You know that scene in A Clockwork Orange where they've got McDowell sitting in a cinema with his eyes prized open by big metal things? That's what this felt like.
It was Star Trek, but not as we know it.
No.
I don't think it was even Star Trek.
It didn't feel like Star Trek. Didn't look like Star Trek.
They had Rachel Garrett in it, Star Trek officer, future captain.
Yes. Enterprise C.
But she and Giorgio were the only ones I came even close to caring about.
Oh, God, yes.
The other characters, the Vulcan...
With an Irish accent.
Got on my tits! Oh, my God!
With a Brit accent there.
It was... Tesselector. He has a...
He's a robot.
Little thing living inside of him. But, oh, my God, he was annoying.
And the Delton, she lasted all of 5 minutes.
Deltons are interesting, especially as they had someone who was apparently immune to her. But, yeah, she got vaporised. Yeah. And the guy who looked like a half-assed, what are they called, Transformer.
Oh, okay. Sean Slater from EastEnders.
Yeah.
Really?
It was Sean, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Did you see that episode?
Can we film it?
No.
Sorry.
No.
So what is it about this particular one that just doesn't work?
Everything.
If you could pin it down to one thing,
they're trying to do a combination of Ocean's 11 and the Suicide Squad.
And the Dirty Dozen.
Yes. Yeah.
Without catching the delight or liveliness of any of them.
No. Missing the mark completely.
Vicious is meant to be a miniseries.
Yes.
And you can tell because every 10 minutes or so there's another episode title.
Yeah. And I think this might have worked as a miniseries.
Maybe.
Because whamming it all into an hour and a half, this is why, you didn't care for the characters because you didn't get to know them.
No.
The best thing in the whole thing was that space station.
The gambling den.
It looked someone had gone nuts with a spirograph and made it 3D. It was really cool. I enjoyed that.
I didn't realise it was a starship.
No.
Not until the very end.
When it zoomed off.
Yeah.
I mean, the thing was, Section 31, I mean, all the ingredients were there, but they weren't listed on the back of the packet.
If they took away the whole, this is Star Trek, would it have been a good film?
No.
Is it because it does not fit in with the Star Trek universe and imagery?
It doesn't fit in with the Star Trek universe and imagery.
That's pretty common with modern Star Trek. A lot of STD didn't really fit in. People expect it
to be set on either a space station or on board a starship.
No, it's not necessarily that. To my mind, it's the whole Section 31 thing doesn't quite fit into the Star Trek ethos either.
Playing DS9 for that one, but
yeah, but it worked within the context of DS9 and the ongoing war when you need a Department of Ungentlemanly Conduct.
Yes.
When DS9 ended, one of the main stories should have been Section 31 being blown up and
dismembered
and everyone being court-martialed.
We discussed this at length in the P aisle in Tesco's. Someone tutted at us because we were standing next to them arguing.
We do discuss a lot of things in
I think you're being naive. Your argument is that Star Trek shouldn't have a Section 31 because of the whole utopian thing. Mm-hmm. And my response to that, even though I thought this film was pap, is that that's very, very naive and it has to have something like Section 31. It's the whole galaxy to look over. And if you think that there aren't people trying to backstab them and do dirty deeds, then you're fooling yourself.
But that was the whole ideology of Gene Roddenberry.
Yeah.
The script writers, certainly in Next Generation, were not allowed to do internal conflict on the Enterprise between characters.
But Gene Roddenberry, bless him.
Bless his cotton socks.
Who couldn't have possibly known that we'd be arguing about this 60 years later. He had this brilliant concept of this utopia, but he was a smart man and he would know, like in any country, no matter how pleasant they seem to be, you've got something in the background making sure the wheels still turn. You've got the little underground thing that the people all happy and smiley up on the surface don't need to know about.
The thing was, Gene Roddenberry originally planned Star Trek as being a wagon train to the stars, to coin his phrase.
Yeah,
I think that utopia thing also came later. I think it came when he tried doing the film.
Yeah, but I mean, the thing was, one thing that myself and Fate Crumbly have started watching is the original series of The Tomorrow People. And the thing is, I mean, to continue with the analogy, The Tomorrow People, they're incapable of committing violence, so they have to recruit people who are willing to commit violence on their behalf. Mm. Yeah, like Lefty and who's the other guy in there?
And that's exactly what this is. You've got the image of Starfleet is the duck above the water, and Section 31 and the rest are the feet paddling like buggery below just to keep the stuff above the water.
It's the MI5, the CIA, the James Bond.
That is now. That is now. And not.
And the human race will not change. It never will. Oh, you had the Dirty Tricks Brigade.
Not the Dirty Tits Brigade.
As far back as you could possibly think, there would have been like the Littlefinger character from Game of Thrones whispering in ears. And no matter how advanced we get, there will be Littlefinger there whispering in more high-tech ears.
But that was the whole point of the show to begin with, is that we have evolved beyond that.
You say that, but then every admiral and commodore they ever met in the original Star Trek was evil.
Yeah.
The original premise of Section 31, all right, carry out the dirty work, but if you get caught, we know nothing. We don't know you.
That is another problem with this show, is it didn't have enough in it to hold my attention.
Yeah.
So because my attention wasn't on it, I noticed continuity errors and things that weren't right.
Things you would overlook if you were enjoying it.
Oh, yeah.
If you're not really enjoying it, you will nitpick.
Yeah, things like when I watch Who, I give them a pass.
You can suspend your belief.
But there were various things in the continuity that just didn't...
I wasn't even sure when it was set. It's
meant to be set in what is termed as the Lost Era.
Right.
So we're talking between the Undiscovered Country and Encounter at Farpoint.
Okay.
So it's meant to be... I mean, that was one of the things. It was Giorgio is meant to be from before original Trek.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. She's from the Discovery. So that is early to mid-23.
So it's before Mirror Mirror.
Yeah, it's meant to be early to mid-23.
Yeah.
She was there with her paramount, the guy who got mangled. One is set mid to late 23, 20 or early 24.
Yeah.
So we're talking a good 60 to 80 years.
Okay, yeah, she's jumping all over the place.
But her timeline works because we have the whole time jump, dilation, whatever.
Yes.
So she can still be the age she is. But they didn't age up or alter the other guy, her opponent.
Right, that's true, yes.
That's true, because he would have been...
There.
Yeah, he would have been somewhere in his 80s or
90s.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
like the phase shift device they had.
Yeah,
so you could fight out of phase. Mm.
I enjoyed that. I enjoyed that whole fight sequence.
Yeah,
especially
really
one of the things that caught into my mind, caught my attention, is she turned off the phase thing to run over the tables. Why didn't she fall through the floor?
Yeah, exactly. that was the same problem in Next Gen.
Yeah.
That reminded me of the shield generators from Dune.
Yeah.
That was good, lad. It did eventually happen, but it took ages. I just kept thinking, just turn it off while he's phased. Grab the thing.
Yeah.
He can't attack you until he comes phased, and then everybody can attack him.
That was a very ornate and sort of bejeweled-looking bomb, that was.
Oh, yeah. It was a lovely-looking bomb.
Mm. I love the fact that you had to give confirmation after the countdown finished.
Unless you know a good medium. I mean,
I have permission to blow up now?
The first time we sat and watched it, I lost the will to live and just started flicking through Facebook.
Sorry.
The second time we sat down and watched it, I got a lot further and then made myself unconscious.
fellas. Sorry, Gene, you saying that, you just reminded me of the bombs from Darkstar.
I've got to admit, the first time I watched it was on the Friday when it premiered, and I just got back from work, and okay. I fell asleep.
I had to pause it for a quarter of an hour halfway through just to have a quick nap.
Yeah.
But I did watch it.
Well, Fake Crumbly fell asleep. Well, I think she gave up the will to watch it about 20 minutes in.
I have to say, I haven't read or heard of a good review of this.
I
think there are one or two out there, but they're pretty rare.
It is, to my mind, it is not the worst Star Trek film that is ever.
Really?
It's not. It's worse. Star Trek 5.
No.
I agree it is bad. I don't think it is as bad as people are making out. At the moment, it's the in thing to pile on new Trek.
Yeah, I don't know. It's utterly failed to grab anybody. That's its biggest problem.
Yeah.
There's lots of things happening, lots of incidents, but nobody cares about anything that is happening.
No. What? And there were lots of good bits, like we've said, like the ship. The space station ship looked really good. The out-of-phase fight was excellent. The effect of the Tesseractor Vulcan was really good as well.
Yeah.
But there was nothing holding it together.
You just couldn't care less about the characters. No. They made it through or not.
You couldn't form any empathy with the character.
It wasn't Star Trek.
No.
I don't mind if it's Star Trek or not, really. It's a good film.
It's Builder's Trek. It should be Trek.
That's why I was wondering if it wasn't Builder's Trek, would it have been a good film?
I can forgive it for being bad Trek, but it wasn't even that. It wasn't Trek. To my mind, it should have had a character like Norrington from Pirates of the Caribbean. Not necessarily a bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
If Jack and Will Turner hadn't been there, Norrington would have been the hero of that film.
Right.
Because he's not necessarily a bad guy. He's a guy who's just trying to do his job.
Yeah.
His job is stopping Jack.
Yeah.
It needed a Norrington character with a starship and something recognisably Trek.
Maybe, yes. Mm. I don't know what they did wrong. But the fact you just don't care about any characters. It's just time. They just need to give time to each character to make them something you care about, maybe.
This is why I think, as a series, we may have all liked it more.
Yeah.
Mm. I'm never a fan of Giorgio. I know she's won an Oscar, but Michelle Yeoh, I've never been particularly impressed with her acting. Maybe it's just this, I haven't seen much of it, it's just Giorgio is a very one-note character.
It could be.
There's no emotion to her at all.
Have you not seen Everywhere, Everywhere, All at Once?
I did.
And you didn't like her in that?
I didn't think that much of it, although that also won an Oscar.
I must admit, the only thing I saw with Michelle Yeoh in was Sunshine.
I
haven't seen that. Obviously, Hidden Dragon.
Like you, I can't put my finger on it. It's just, it was so wrong.
It's just happening, but didn't care.
Yeah. I think that
it
is its main problem.
Star Trek.
For my mind, its main problem isn't the fact that it's good, isn't the fact that it's bad. It's the fact that it's meh.
I'll tell you what film I do want to watch.
Mm-hmm.
I want to watch Giorgio and the other kids all going through what they went through to become emperor.
Oh,
that's a film I'd watch.
Yeah.
Lots of fighting.
Because it's a tragedy. You've got young love and this horrible decision she makes at the end. I'd watch that.
And if it's got Michelle Yeoh in it, it'd be lots of wire work as well.
Well, she'd be a bit too old for the character.
Just a touch.
But I thought that was the best version of Giorgio we saw, the young version.
Yeah.
I believed that character. By the time we get to, essentially
did the scene in Kingsman when they're told to shoot their dogs.
She shot the dogs.
I think that's the thing. It doesn't matter what genre the film is, and I don't think it matters how much you are a fan of that genre, that series. If you can't feel something for the characters in that film, you're not going to enjoy it.
Mm.
Exactly, it
is a visceral activity watching a film or a TV, and if you really don't care about whether they live or die or you know, or anything like that, if you can't hate them or you can't love them, if you're ambivalent to them, you're just not going to be engaged.
No. And also, you could see things a mile off. I instantly knew that the guy that was attacking her was her gimp. I didn't know how he came across from the other universe, but who else is it going to be?
Yeah.
It's going to be that guy. He's not dead. And sure enough, he was.
Mm. I mean, as I say, the ingredients were there, but I mean, to me, it wasn't recognisable as Trek.
Overcooked or undercooked, but it wasn't Trek.
So we're sitting on the fence over this. But we would love to know what you thought of Star Trek Section 31. Write to us via show
at
staggeringstories.net.
Right, someone over there is just furious that he was forced to watch it.
Oh, well.
He should have been in either colour or black and white.
Oh, yeah. I think we'd better be nice to him.
Okay.
1, 2, 3.
Hello, Head of Pertwee.
Hello, Inky McSquirtsalot.
Hello, Handle.
And Dinky McSquirtsalot.
We have a new Handles.
Oh, by the way.
Handles too.
Got Handles too. Hello.
By the way, Head of Pertwee, your bum looks good in new Blu-ray 3D. Cleaned up.
Oh, really? Yes.
Hello, Dave Zilla the Mighty. Hello, Terrence. Yes.
Hello, various nebulas.
Dangerous Churchill.
Yes.
Nazi Spock.
Moomin.
Folded up and propped against a radiator, Clara.
Orange glow.
Goats.
Goats.
Many goats. Okay, so from something we didn't particularly like that much.
Even only watching 10 minutes of it.
On to something I think we all probably thoroughly enjoyed.
Yes.
We've been listening to some Big Finish.
Yay.
Doctor Who. Pause for music. Go on, Keith, what have we listened to?
Well, in tribute to the sad passing of last time, yes, of
Christopher Benjamin.
Christopher Benjamin, we have been listening to Doctor Who Companion Chronicles, The Mahogany Murders.
Starring
Murderers,
Jago, and Lightfoot. Can I just say,
go on,
Christopher Benjamin's voice, there are a few actors who had similar voices. Him, Nick Courtney.
No. Yes.
Yes.
Voices like syrup.
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny, it was Nick Courtney. At one point, I'm sitting there going, is this Nick Courtney doing impersonation? Because he's already dead himself. There were elements of the brick.
Mm. Yeah. And, what's his name? Morgan Freeman. Mm. Is another one. And James Earl Jones. And Tony Todd.
Read the phone book to you, as they used to say.
Yes, anything, I'd be fascinated. Yeah. Amazing voice on the man.
So this is a short one. It's two half-hour episodes, for want of a better word.
Yeah, yes. Part of what is normally an audio book range.
Yeah, the Companion Chronicles are audio books. I have problems with audio books. Given the choice, I'd much rather listen to a full cast.
Yes, because, an audio play rather than the book.
Because with audio books, quite a few times in my experience, the reader reads it. They don't act it.
Mm. Yeah.
They read it. So you get just one monotone voice talking to you when things get exciting. And they jump around and, oh, my God, I'm falling asleep.
I mean, I didn't know it was an audio book as opposed to an audio play.
Well, it isn't really.
To me,
it sounded like Jago and Lightfoot just sitting in the pub, having a couple of pints and reminiscing about.
Yeah. That's what I love about this one. Yeah. It's the two characters reciting to each other what their experiences have been over this case.
And Jago won't let Lightfoot do the voices.
Because
he's not an actor.
Excuse me. Oh, and I think this is the first appearance of Ellie as well.
It is, yeah.
The barmaid. Lisa barmaid, yes.
Yeah. She happened to be, I don't know if it happened to be, but she was directing it.
She was directing
and
them.
And also did a bit of Ellie as well to give them something.
Well, I'm glad
else.
To see that Jago still has his gift of verbose alliteration.
Oh, yes.
It seems to be set not so long after Wang Chiang.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
There are references to Wang Chiang.
You do get the impression that they've had at least one more escapade since Wang Chiang.
Yeah.
Because I do refer to something that we haven't heard of.
But he's also looking for work because his theatre is actually staying up.
Yeah.
One of the reasons why it took me a long time to get into Big Finish, because I thought they were audio books rather than plays. And I tried to describe it to someone the other day with Big Finish audio plays. It's like you've got it on TV, you're just not actually watching
it's,
it.
It's a radio
but
show.
But it sounds like it's exactly. So I was a bit at first when it became, it was obviously a book, a recounting. But because of the way they do it, both their voices, you've got the other actors in there and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. It still has that feeling of the audio play.
It is effective.
And because they are recounting what happened rather than you're living it as they're
plus,
doing it.
Plus the background noises as
well.
And if I could be mistaken, I'm quite sure Adam would correct me, but on the back of this, we got the Jago and Lightfoot series. because it was it was such a popular disc.
It was so popular and they loved doing it.
Yeah.
So it's a no-brainer that they'd go on to do a series.
The premise of this is that, well, basically they did meet up with each other again. Mm. And Jago, I can't remember which one's Jago and which one's Lightfoot. Which one's the mortician?
Professor Lightfoot. Professor Lightfoot. And Henry Gordon.
Professor Lightfoot was given a body to autopsy, only it was made of wood.
Dun, dun, dun.
Mahogany.
Yeah. Mm. I did have visions. Did this by any chance give him an idea for Cyberman?
I know the one you mean.
Yes. Yeah.
Wooden Cyberman.
Oh,
Cyberman
right. Last. From the Matt Smith era. Yeah. It was written by Andy Lane, who I thought did an amazing job getting those characters back.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Mm. Yeah. Yeah. It was, certainly the language is Robert Holmes.
Yes. Mm. Absolutely feels right.
Yeah.
And I think if they got it wrong, then probably there wouldn't have been a series.
No, it would have been so obviously noticeable.
Jago is very much language-wise based on George Bernard Shaw, whose way of writing and speaking was, why use one word when 25 will do?
Yeah. Flowery, I think, is a good one.
Flowery prose.
I did like the thing, though, about he said, I speak, what is it, 6 languages? And she said, well, what do you do with all those words?
Yeah. Ellie's a simple soul.
No one's asked me that before. What do you do with them?
Use them, dear heart. Use them. But yes, the setup is various mass murderers and killers have had their souls transported from their bodies, who have been locked up in Newgate Jail, and into these... Ready for the hangman's noose, and some of them had been, and had them transferred into these mahogany marionettes, and using them to carry out and continue their foul deeds.
Because they weren't a very nice bunch,
They're nefarious activities.
And they were approached by a Dutch man called Professor Tolp.
Who had a very German accent for a Dutchman.
That was Jago's. Was that Lightfoot?
No, at one point, I think one of them referred to it. And then in between, he became Russian. I think at one point they referred to it.
The accent wandered around the world a little bit.
Perhaps the accent.
Well, it wasn't so much the accent. I think one of the characters was one of the... other characters referred to him as Russian or something.
Yeah. But we're not... The description of him is unusual, as in sort of a egg-shaped head, completely hairless. Mm. So one, personally, I get the inclination that he may not have been 100% human.
Mm. Yes.
Well, he does show up.
He shows up in the second...
The series.
The first series.
He's not a Centauran, is he?
No, he's not a Centauran.
He sounds like a Centauran. Pink head.
Yeah, but I think Tolp returns in the first... proper series.
This is nice because it is just 2 short parters. So it's a nice easy one to get through.
Yeah.
And it leads you somewhere and it finishes, but it also finishes in a way that it still carries on, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you find out what these mahogany mannequins are and how they're stopped, but you still have the bigger mystery of who created them, what's behind them, etc. So if it was a standalone, it's a nice little standalone.
Yeah.
But then it does carry, or it can potentially carry on to a bigger series.
I get the feeling, listening to this play, that the felons who had their souls transferred into mahogany bodies, I mean, they were being held to ransom, so to speak.
That was the implication at the end.
Yeah. Not to begin with, but towards the end.
Yeah, there was a threat they could have their souls transferred back into their bodies.
Well, one
describes, sort of scratching on the lid of
his coffin. One of them did have the marionette that turned up at the Lightfoot's mortuary, was unplugged and returned to his body.
Which was in his grave.
Which was in his
grave. Grey fingers scratching at the lid of his coffin. Mm. Yeah.
Slightly decayed.
Yes.
Well, smelly.
Gooey. Gloopy.
Yeah. So this was May 2009.
Yeah.
Blimey.
So a while ago now.
Yeah.
And the series went on from 2010, so they did it pretty quick.
Yes, almost immediate turnaround.
2017.
Oh, yeah. Well, they got a good few years.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah. There was a couple of discs. Were we in double figures?
Oh, yes. 13 series.
Yeah.
With the both of them. Then there's a 14th, which is audiobooks, because Trevor Baxter had died, sadly. Yeah.
And the nice thing is, this is the first, as you say, this is the first one. We're not listening to it as the first one. We've heard the other ones in the series.
Yeah, heard them all.
And, but if you think of this being the first one, and however many years it was after Talons of Rhaenyra,
30 years.
They very quickly were instantly Jago and Lightfoot.
Yeah, they fell into character.
Some people say that there are certain friends you have where no matter how long it's been since you saw them, you fall back into conversation with them as if no time has passed. Yeah. And that's exactly what these two did. They put these old coats back on again and just carried on chatting.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But for characters that were a very small part of their career, a long time ago, they just sort of seemed to fit into them so easily, so quick. There wasn't an offbeat on either of their performances.
That's the thing, if the character's that well written.
One wonders how long it actually took them rehearsing and how quick they were to step back
in. I'd imagine there was a couple of viewings of Talons of Weng Chai.
Well, I'd listened to the special features at the end, and they said they literally did not rewatch the DVD.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because they didn't want to be appalled by their performance 30 years ago.
Yeah, I can understand.
Although, apparently, at least Trevor Baxter had seen it a few years earlier, presumably for a commentary or something.
Yeah.
But it's the only time he had seen it. He's seen it once since it went out.
They'd have nothing to be ashamed of.
Oh, God.
You know, actors are. Some hate watching themselves.
Oh, yeah. Originally, it was marvellously written. The characters were three-dimensional, and it continues over this. This was marvellously written and excellently portrayed.
Yeah, proper gold here with these two.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And it's in some ways, this isn't because it is a short one, and it's not an overly complicated story, and it's not an overly complicated in terms of lots and lots of layers of characters, so you have to picture in your head who's who. It's a really nice, easy one to listen to.
Yeah,
either in the car or, you know, while you're doing something else and something, you know, it's a nice one just to sit. I was listening to it while I was typing up some letters.
Yeah, so put yourself on automatic and then just listen to it, So I usually listen to them as I walk them into work.
Well, I normally listen to audio plays when I'm driving to and from Fake Crumbly. So.
I mean, you can't get this one on CD from Big Finish anymore, but you can still get it as a download. Yeah. And it's, I don't know what it is in other currencies, but in the UK at the moment, it's $3.99.
Oh, blimey.
Oh,
it's less than a blooming coffee, literally.
It's certainly worth it.
It's worth it, yeah.
I do remember them saying at one of the Big Finishes they regret the name of this. Because everybody misspeaks it as Mahogany Murders.
Ooh. Yeah.
It's the murderers.
Murderers.
Yeah. Murderers.
Because I was sitting there thinking, there's been no murders. Where's the murders? Am I missing some more bits of this? And then, they're the murderers.
Perhaps Mahogany Killers or...
It's an alliteration. Yes, alliteration there.
There again, one of them was made of rosewood.
Well, then I hated the entire thing. Listenable. Okay, so we loved that one.
Yes,
definitely.
And
definitely.
We recommend that you do listen to it because it's awesome. And then you can write to us and tell us what you thought about it via show
at
staggeringstories.net.
Woohoo!
Right, we have no letters this week, but. We do have a couple of pieces of audio feedback.
Okay.
So let's hear from Mr. M.
Why not?
Hello, Staggering Stories people. It's Mr. M.
Hi there.
Hello, Mr. M.
And we haven't recorded any feedback for a long, long time. In fact,
we did
some audio feedback back during the last series of Doctor Who, just before the final two episodes have been broadcast.
Mm-hmm.
So it was last June. So we're just going to say what we thought about those episodes, the Christmas special, and just general other things that we've been up to.
Yeah.
I really liked the ending of the series. Sutek was fun. You had no idea who Sutek was.
No, I didn't.
You still don't really have much of an idea who Sutek was.
I do, because I did actually watch it. And
You did. Yeah,
and we also watched the... Pyramids
of Mars. What did you think of that?
Yeah, that was good fun. I like a bit of like that sort of era, so that was fun.
Yeah, and what did you think about the resolution of Ruby Sunday's mother?
I thought that was quite boring, actually.
Yes.
Like, just because it was like the cliche thing that everyone expects.
Yeah.
I think everyone thought it was quite boring.
Mm.
I didn't mind it as much as some people did, and I think it is more interesting that Ruby is not some alien slash Time Lord slash whatever.
Mm.
But it perhaps was a bit overhyped, and I don't get why Sutek was so interested in it. But yeah. I didn't think it was quite the big letdown that some people made it out to be, but I enjoyed it. I'm really excited to see where Mrs. Flood is going in the next series. And I think there's one too many mystery women around, but I'd be surprised if we don't hear any more teasing or at least actually seeing the return of Susan in the next series.
Ooh.
I don't know what you think about that.
I have no idea. I mean, I'm still annoyed that we missed the opportunity of when the Doctor was a woman meeting Susan, who is now a much older woman, and still calling the Doctor grandfather the whole time. I think that would have been the best thing they could have done.
Awesome.
And now that they've missed that, yeah. I don't think they can bring Susan back.
If they bring Susan back, do you think it will still be the original actress, or would they get something different?
She's alive, and as long as she can actually do stuff, then I think it would be more fun if she was the original actress.
She's still going strong. I don't know if she does any acting, but I don't see why she wouldn't.
Finish.
But let's move on to the Christmas special, Joy to the World.
Oh, yeah.
After I finished watching it, I think I said straight away that was the most I'd enjoyed an episode of Doctor Who. It doesn't mean it was the best episode of Doctor Who in a long while. It was just really good fun. Mm,
yeah.
And it's the main thing that a lot of people have said, but I really just loved Anita, and that whole little sequence in the middle of the episode was definitely the best part.
Mm. Yes, and I think Anita and the Time Hotel is just asking for a spin-off. I think that it would be quite suitable for sort of mini episodes.
Hmm.
Yeah.
You mean like little kind of short or just a series that's like 20-minute episode, like a 20-minute adventure each week or something.
Yeah, something like that.
Okay, I think that would work.
Okay,
it's such a good concept that
to meet Mr. Ben,
you can't really say it was underused in the episode because it was used quite a lot, but there's so much that you could do with it. But yeah, it was a good, fun episode. It worked really well as a Christmas special. And yeah, I'm just looking forward to the next series now, which at the moment it's rumoured to be coming back in April, which is good because that's not too much longer to wait. What else have we been up to or watching? We watched Bodies, which I think you reviewed on the podcast.
Yeah,
that was good. Yeah, that was where we first heard of it, to watch it. That was good. It was similar to Dark, but different enough to still be interesting in its own way.
Yeah, I think it was one of these things where that happens very rarely, that I was actually just watching it and not doing anything at the same time. Because it helps if you actually see and listen.
Yeah.
Whereas most things now you can sort of keep up with if you don't look at it.
Yeah,
I
have to pay full attention. There was a thing a few weeks ago, maybe even a few months ago, where some Netflix executive has said that during their shows, you need to have the characters remind the audience of what's going on at least like every 5 or 10 minutes so that they can watch it whilst also looking at their phone.
Yeah.
And I do think that is the case with a lot of shows. I think that was also the case quite a bit with
they've cancelled everything that's good because that's all the stuff where that's not the case.
Maybe. But I think that's also the case a bit with some of the Marvel shows where they can be 6 or 8 or 9 episodes. They're often quite short, and a lot of the episodes spend a lot of their time reminding you what's going on. I think that was the case a bit with Agatha All Along. I think it got better as it went along.
Yes, but I think with that, I sort of enjoyed it because that wasn't the thing where you look away for a minute and then it's sort of meh.
Mm.
But it's the thing where you look away for a minute and then you can pick it up again.
It was
without being too much referencing what happened before.
It was the kind of thing where you almost didn't need to know what was going on to be able to follow it, I think.
Yeah.
But that was good. It was very different. I enjoyed that a lot. And I'm really looking forward to the Daredevil series as well, because it was...
Don't move on to the next thing before I'm done.
Okay, what did you want to say?
I wanted to say that it was... I like how it sort of felt like a video game, even though I don't play video games.
It was very, very video gamey.
Yeah.
Mm.
That's a really good comment. But I liked that it just had a different feel to a lot of the more recent Marvel things, which, okay, it's like the multiverse saga at the moment, but a lot of things have been very spacey or very random multiverse characters, whereas this was your kind of Wiccan coven magic thing, which hasn't really been done that much before in Marvel. And now I think this year, a lot more of the films and also some of the Disney Plus shows are more, present day based, which we haven't had for a couple of years. It's been very kind of off Earth. So I'm looking forward to that. We should probably wrap up soon because we've already been talking for ages, but I just wanted to say I've been reading the Wheel of Time books.
Oh, yeah.
Which are good, but they're very long and they're very slow. And there's about 40 of them, all of which are like 800 pages, but I'm enjoying them. You also got way ahead of me in the Rivers of London books.
I think I'm up to date, unless there's been another one that I don't know anything about.
Or that I haven't seen at work.
I think there's another one coming out soon.
Yeah, and you're still enjoying those?
As well. Yeah, I'm still enjoying those.
I'm enjoying them, but I do struggle a bit with the fact that I kind of can't remember the plot of each book after I've read it, because they do just kind of blend into...
It is a very flowing story and not as much books that are separate as much.
And I don't know if there's been any major news on the TV version of it that they're going to do. I wonder how...
Production hell, I think.
...that will work, if it will stick very much to the books, or if it will be a kind of... case of the week kind of thing, based on the world and the novels, but that would be interesting.
Yeah, isn't there the comics as well, which I haven't read?
Yes,
my brain doesn't do comics.
Shame.
Anyway, we should probably stop talking now. But I will definitely send in some predictions for this year, you know, it's only February. I think last year I didn't do my predictions until about May. So
at least. But you say that now, and it might still be May by the time you write.
Okay, I will predict that I will send my predictions in by no later than May. And maybe you'll do some predictions as well.
Maybe.
Well, we'll find out. But until then, we'll say bye.
Bye.
Thank you.
Yeah, predictions in May. I mean, it's nearly half the year gone.
Yeah, we've got most of them right.
Yeah, I'm enjoying reading The Rivers of London, but yeah, you can...
It is hard to go back to look at the books on the shelf, think, what happened in each of them?
Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
Because they do flow.
They do flow. They're enormously easy and wonderful to read. Because at the moment, I've just picked up the Tales from the Folly.
Oh, yes.
And every now and again, I'm reading out chunks to you.
Yeah,
yeah. That's really cool. Good. Short stories, aren't they? Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. The latest one was a novella set in New York in the 20s or that?
Yeah, Winterfields or Winter. Yeah. But yeah, there is another one. I'm looking on Amazon. There is you can pre-order the next one.
Oh, really?
And he's on his Facebook feed every now and then. Say, I've finally written X amount of words today.
Yeah. As in terms of the TV series, I think I heard a couple months back that it's been restarted. They're trying again.
Yeah.
So I think it lost its way and now they're
falling apart. Yeah.
Concentrating on it again. So we'll see if it ever happens. I hope it does.
I hope it does. It would be good. What I would love to see, either a film or a TV version, is the River of London books and the Matthew Swift books, which share a lot of common history.
Oh, yeah.
Do you have any more feedback?
I believe we do.
Ooh.
I think this one is from the Dragon Maker.
Hello, Staggerers. Hello, Terrence. Hello, Davezilla the Mighty. Hello, Head of Pertwee. And hi, Trixie. It's been a busy couple of weeks here at Shea Dragon. Sadly, the adulting continues apace, but at least one good thing has come out of it. My 20-year-old minivan has gone to a farm upstate to be replaced by one 10 years younger, and I feel much more confident on the road.
Oh, good.
We will not discuss the debt I'm now in. Meanwhile, Gallifrey 1 prep continues.
Mm-hmm.
Did I accomplish the work I mentioned last time? I did order new ribbons, which have arrived in time.
Oh, good.
And the rest I'll just have to make do with for one more year. But the ribbons look great. Moving on to actual feedback. You mentioned the death of David Lynch. Can't say I was ever a fan, I'm afraid. I was scarred by Blue Velvet at the tender age of 19. Yes, I was a sensitive child even then. And have been unable to watch anything else he's made since.
Okay,
I have seen The Elephant Man, but that was a few years before Blue Velvet. and was watched in the comfort of my own home with the lights on. So, no, I have not seen his Dune, Twin Peaks, or anything else he's done in his long career. Don't at me, people.
It's all right.
Skeleton Crew. Mm. Ah. This was just so good. The kids were very well cast and believable as kids, you know? Mm. The bickering felt very true to life. And Jude Law? Ah, perfection. Yes, it's Jude Law. He's pretty much always perfection. Mm. I hope the ratings pick up as word of mouth continues to spread, because the show was simply a delight.
Yep.
Would that The Acolyte, which I did like, had been so well put together. Mm. Should there be another season? I think I'd like that, but I also think it would end up being so very different that it might not be recognizable.
Mm. Yeah.
We shall see. Once and Future, Coda.
Yes.
I had a listen when this was released and forgot to listen again this past week. Did I mention that I've been busy?
Mm. Touched upon it.
To refresh my memory. It's always great to have Benny in a story, and if I remember correctly, I don't think I knew she was in it before I listened.
Oh.
I rarely look hard at the cover art before I start a story. Was it a good wrap-up? Eh? Was it meant to be? Honestly, I'm not sure I remember. But it was still good company while I was working, as is most Big Finish. The less said about a couple of Torchwood releases, the better. Lastly, Section 31. There was mention of talking about it in this episode, so maybe you did?
Yeah.
Anyway, my quick thoughts. It's clear that the show was originally meant to be a series, either a miniseries or ongoing. I had thought that they had changed the plan to make this a standalone TV movie, but that's not at all the way it played out.
Mm.
If they decide to make a series after all and call this the pilot, I'm not sure I would watch.
Mm.
The fight scenes were overly long and both visually confusing and uninteresting. The new characters were kind of flat to me, and honestly, I don't care what Rachel Garrett was doing before she became captain of the Enterprise C. Back to galley prep for me. Be well, my friends. Anon, Catherine the Dragon Maker.
Thank you, Catherine.
I'm so glad she didn't like it either. I'd have felt rotten if we just panned it to pieces and she's like, this is the best thing I've ever seen.
It seems to be a general consensus of opinion.
Well, there might be a PS. Let me double check.
PS. Keith, I have had similar conversations with my cat. You're in good company.
Thank you.
I always like weird PS.
No, I know what she means.
Yeah. Lead us out, Crumbly.
And so, dear listeners, that brings us to the end of another podcast.
Aww.
Aww.
But never fear, in the next one, there'll be more of the same.
Please take
more fun, frivolity and jollity, more news and reviews, more who old and new.
Don't I get time off for good behaviour?
No.
So until that...
J for Jago.
Jolly
well jousts his jangling way through jelly and jungles.
Jumps.
To juxtapose with Jupiter.
You've been thinking of this one, haven't you?
Covered in jam.
I'm all out of alliteration.
Your personal fetishes should not be brought into this.
Catch jumbling towards us.
This is me, Crumbly, saying, be seeing you.
Farewell.
Goodbye.
Au revoir.
Build a man a fire, and he's warm for a day. Set a man on fire, and he'll be warm for the rest of his life.
You have been listening to the Staggering Stories podcast, Series 1, Number 465, featuring Adam Purcell, Andy Simpkins, Fake Keith, Gene Riddler, and the real Keith Dunn. The views expressed here are those of the speakers and don't necessarily represent those of the other speakers or the site. No copyright infringement is intended, and this has been an El Presidente and Fake Keith production for www.staggeringstories.net.
Galison!
She keeps giving me the evils like it's my fault.
No, she's still trembling.
Oh, no, she'll be fine.
She will be. Where are we going?
And she knows that Mummy's a soft touch, so Mummy will cuddle me.
And we'll stop trembling.
Yeah, when I came in, she's like, here's the rest of it. I said, do you want to smell my foot? You might find the shoes more noticeable. Seems like you were sleeping on it last time.
No, she's not good around lots of people.
But I think our neighbours have another reason to think we're mad, because we get home from Tesco's and it's like, entry coder, entry coder, key, outer airlock open.
Assuming the position.
Close. Pop secure, inner airlock shut.
Opening outer airlock. Shuffle shopping inside.
They're mad, you know, they're mad. They're mad.
Well, as I said, it was the first time. We didn't expect it. Getting the shopping from the trolley into the front, into the kitchen. Door was open. Pup got out. So I had to peg it down the street after it. And I swear I could hear laughter.
Yeah.
Bastard.
I was worried carrying her back. I was worried you were going to have a heart attack.
I almost did.
Trixie, have you got Karen wrapped around your little paw?
I can't face the guys at work.
Why?
So you've got a dog, Keith? No, I've inherited a dog. I didn't go out and get it deliberately.
What's its name?
Trixie.
Big powerful dog.
You could have told them she was called Ares.
Devastator.
Nasher. Killer.
Trixie McDog.
Trixie McDog. All tremble at her name.
Who's going to
call? Yes, I won. Oh, that was close. Yellow spots. As my other eye pops. What did you hear about my eye? It exploded. It was so cool.
I
burst a blood vessel in it.
Oh.
It was wonderful.
Oh, no, scanner's moment.
I take it you're reading the first one?
Got to find it.
She's got to find it with a dog asleep on her lap.
In well, my coat.
Not quite asleep, but no. Trying to.
Dozing, keeping a wary eye.
Well, we've got these other people here.
Yes.
Not to be trusted.
She's trying to protect her mistress.
Yeah. Do you want to end with something everyone enjoyed, or begin with something that everyone enjoyed?
Just end with something.
Then it's going to have to be section 31.
Excuse me.
I know your opinions of it. You don't need to put it so basely.
Sorry, we shouldn't laugh, but what have you done to that poor dog?
Oh, nothing.
She's just... Poor Trixie's just been put on the couch between fake Keith and Crumbly. Took one look at Crumbly and gone, I don't like it here.
It's a good game.